الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم The Muslim should be the graveyard for rumor and suspicion. The Muslim should be the graveyard for rumor and suspicion. This statement's a little awkward. So in order to help clarify what I intend by this statement, I'm going to first give an example and then clarify with some more details, inshallah. So to understand my example, I have to take you into science, biological science, and talk a little bit about the theory of vaccinations. Okay, now I know that if you look in the common media today, vaccinations are a very hot topic. I'm not interested in going into any of those details at this point. I'm merely just using the idea of vaccination to highlight a concept. So the concept is that you have this pathogen, in this case, let's make it a virus. The concept of a vaccination is that you have this pathogen, and essentially the pathogen is doing everything it's in its biologic ability to spread amongst its host. So in this case, let's say the host is a human. So the virus will try to maximize its ability to be able to spread throughout the human population. And every time it finds a new host, it will leverage its abilities to grow and develop and maximize its interaction with that host. So this is the general principle of a virus, of any pathogen. Now the idea behind the vaccination is that the vaccination, it's given to an individual to prepare the individual for that particular pathogen. So for example, if I get vaccinated against a pathogen, then the idea is that as the pathogen is spreading through humanity and trying to leverage itself and trying to maximize its ability to infect the host, it'll eventually bump into me. And when it bumps into me, I will become a graveyard for that virus. How so? Because the virus may be able to infect me, but as soon as it infects me, I'll be ready. I'm primed. I'm ready to handle it. Either I could be protected against the infection, or it may infect me, but it'll basically not be able to get beyond me because I will become a graveyard for it because I'm ready for it. So basically, the spread of the virus will die with me. So that's the concept. So in essence, what happens is when you have when you reach herd immunity or when you reach a certain amount of people who have either seen the virus or who have been vaccinated against the virus, this now becomes a large population, a large percentage of the population that eventually causes the virus to stop because a virus is not able to then subsequently find additional hosts. Even just mathematically, you can calculate it, but a virus wouldn't be able to find a host. So, you know, if I had to take my initial statement and I apply it to this example, I would say that a vaccinated or, for that matter, immunized individual, whether that be by vaccine or whether that be by prior infection, an immunized individual becomes like a graveyard for the pathogen or the virus. As soon as it hits that person, it doesn't gain the ability to go beyond. It just dies right there. So otherwise stated, a virus cannot go viral. Otherwise stated, a virus will not be able to go viral. Okay, now let's take this same example and now look at it from the perspective of how I started at the very beginning of this talk. So I said to you that the Muslim is like a graveyard for rumor and suspicion. A Muslim is like a graveyard for rumor and suspicion. So what does that mean? It means that rumor and suspicion, they have a natural tendency to spread rapidly within a population, like a virus. Rumor and suspicion have a natural tendency to spread within a population. And invariably, a Muslim will get caught up in rumor and suspicion, but Muslims have been vaccinated against the spread of rumor and suspicion such that when a rumor or a suspicion hits a Muslim, it should die and go into that. It should die or become, the Muslim should become like a graveyard for that rumor. Meaning the rumor should not be able to spread beyond the Muslim, nor should suspicion be able to spread beyond a Muslim. This is just a very general principle that is part of our deen. Now, we can't avoid rumor and suspicion. You'll go out there in the world, everybody is spreading random information everywhere. Now, I'm not talking about science, and I'm just talking about other people, or you know, gossip or rumors about other people or suspicion about what another person is doing to them. This is something that human beings, they have been spreading all over the place from the beginning of time. But a Muslim is very particular that when they hear something or when they experience something or when they engage with someone or when they see something, they're very particular to not pass that information on unless it meets certain very stringent standards. Just as an example, and I'll give you just a beautiful example. I cannot be more eloquent, obviously, than any single hadith. But the Prophet ﷺ, he addressed this issue concerning the spreading of rumors and the spreading of suspicion. The Prophet ﷺ, he addressed this issue in a very short, sweet statement. Very short and very sweet statement. And it's worth thinking about. And it's worth reflecting on. Because he said, and by the way, I think this is in Muslim, if I recall correctly. Again, I'm talking off the top of my head, so you have to forgive me here. But I think it's in Muslim. You can look it up. Kafa bil mar'i kathiba. Kafa bil mar'i kathiba. It suffices an individual to be false. It suffices to classify an individual, for an individual to classify, to be considered a liar or to be considered false, and yuhaditha bikulli ma sami'a, that they speak whatever they hear. They speak whatever they hear. What that means is that it's not, it is automatically a lie. It is automatically a lie if a person simply takes everything they hear from the world and just passes it on to the rest of the world. That suffices to call an individual for an individual to be considered a liar. I don't want anyone to call anyone else a liar, so I'm not, you know, let's not look at it that way. It suffices me to be considered a liar to myself if what I do is that every time I hear anything from anyone, I just go ahead and spread it. So what does that mean? It means that as a Muslim, if I just take into account this very beautiful statement of the Prophet ﷺ, it means that rumor and suspicion will die at my feet. Because I'm not going to spread it. I cannot spread it. It would be my classifying myself as a liar or as false according to the teachings of our deen if every time I heard what somebody said, I just simply blasted out to the rest of the world. And that's exactly what happens today. That's exactly what happens today. Something shows up on some social media feed, and then we look at it. We don't know if it's true. We don't know if it's false. We don't know the context. We don't know the whole story. Often we know it's filth. You know, it's like obvious filth. Obvious filth for anyone with clear vision. and we forward it to as many people as possible, it automatically makes us in this category of people who could be potentially liars. We have to be very, very particular about what we hear and what we pass on. Now, I would even argue that the battle actually begins at what we hear. We should be very particular about not letting falsehood, extremity, negativity, evil, vice, bad things even come into our ears. But if perchance it happens to pass the filter of our senses and it comes into our ear, it should never be something that we spread. Now, what's the idea here? The idea here is that a Muslim in general, individually and communally, they cooperate together to create a web, to create a community of people that spread good. And they also never cooperate. They never cooperate to spread bad. And that's one of the very core principles of our community. Of course, it occurs on an individual level, but it is a communal characteristic. It's not my characteristic. I'm not just picking this up out of the air. It's stated in the Quran. Where's Hafiz? Is there some Hafiz? وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. No. Yeah. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Is that correct? Yeah. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And cooperate. Look what the Quran is commanding. And cooperate. In what? In righteousness and in taqwa, in God consciousness. These two things are things that we join together and form a web to cooperate in. This is the thing, this is what we spread. We spread righteousness, piety. And what else do we spread? God consciousness. These are the places where we cooperate to do as much as we can, and we leverage our interactions, our connections, in order to spread to the best of our ability. And the opposite is also stated. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Right after that. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate in sin and, you know, udwan, like hatred, enemy, you know, this is the type of meaning that you take from udwan. So don't cooperate in sin and transgression. Let's translate it that way. Don't cooperate in sin and transgression. So this statement of the Quran is actually defining a key characteristic of the community. Otherwise stated, if I had to very, very boil it down into the most essential, simple terms, I would say we are people who spread good, and we are people that shut down bad. Shut down bad. What does that mean? Now, bad doesn't mean just necessarily like a crime. It means that anything that could bring humanity down. We don't spread negativity. You know, people get angry about things and they want to spread it everywhere. But you know, when you get angry, when you spread anger, you're spreading fire. And it's a lot of fun when you're pressing buttons with your finger. But these are the types of things that lead to chaos in humanity and have caused death and revolution and all these things that, you know, you look back at history, it's not hard for human beings to begin to do some very, very dangerous and extreme things when everyone is pushing negativity everywhere. You don't have to go far to look at the craziness that occurred in Germany, Nazi Germany, et cetera, et cetera. You think these people started that way? You think that humanity started that way? No. These things were spread, you know, in a very light, casual way, thinking that, you know, it doesn't hurt to say a few negative things about these people or a few negative things about those people. And what ended up happening is that it took hold in society. And as it took hold in society, this negativity spread and created a monster. And this is the type of negativity that not only brings communities down, not only brings humanity down, but it also brings individuals down. You don't think that every time we see something negative, it affects us? Guarantee it affects you. I don't even have to tell you. There's data to prove it. You know, go study Facebook. Facebook, I know, is yesterday, but, you know, at least I'm a little more aware of Facebook. You know what they do? When you're looking at Facebook, In the background, what's happening? It's timing you. It's timing you, and it's tracking how you move the screen. Based on the timing and the tracking of how you move the screen, they're able to gauge how interested you are. The moment the algorithm picks up that you've lost a bit of interest, they know that if they throw something negative at you, particularly something that will anger you, you'll quickly return back to engage with the page the way you did previously. This is not me speaking. This is the people at Facebook telling us this. Now, what's their idea? Their idea is that they will, essentially, what's their goal? Their goal is to keep our eyes on those pages as long as possible. Even if it means to spread negativity, garbage, even if it means to spread things that are going to harm us. Now, you think it's beneficial for anybody for me to see something on Facebook and to get angry and to start burning up inside? You think that I'm going to, every anger is a fire. You think I'm going to be able to control that fire and manage that fire in such a way that I'm going to create a positive change? No. That fire is going to come out in me. It's going to come out in the way I behave. It's going to come out in the way I treat my spouse. It's going to come out in the way I treat my kids. I'm not going to be able to control that fire. That fire is going to burn me inside. And what happens is every time it detects that there's a decrease in my interaction with this page, it has clear, data-driven analytics to say, throw this at this person, throw this at this person. Rumor, suspicion, anger, hatred, garbage. And it comes into our system and it creates a reaction. Now what happens is, but the problem is it's not just me. Fine, if it was me, you could throw me away one day. But it's all of humanity. It's happening here and here and here and here and here, and it's all being controlled in the background. All with the sole purpose of what? For goodness? To raise people? To elevate civilization? No. It's all based on how much time you spend on the page, because that's how much the advertisers are going to pay. That's how much more they're going to make. They're not being driven by goodness. Now, I know the people who work there, they're innocent, simple people who are basically thinking that they're doing something good, fine. But when you aggregate a bunch of people who are basically being driven and told what to do by a series of employers who are all basically being driven by a board, who are all basically being driven by stock prices and profits and all the other things that can disrupt humanity, then it becomes very quickly someplace where a person shouldn't be. Now, I'm not trying to blame any company or any person. All I'm trying to say is that we as Muslims, we are the place where rumor dies, not where it gets spread. We are the place where suspicion dies. When somebody comes to me and tweets to me or texts to me or calls me or tells me and says, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened, that's the moment to say, you're not going to believe, I don't want to know what happened. That's the moment to stop and say, you're not going to believe this, but I actually don't want to know what happened. Stop right there. Because I don't need to know what happened. And it's going to be highly detrimental for me to hear what happened. Because, first of all, it's likely to be filth. And if it was something beneficial, I'm going to find out when I need to find out anyway. But now what happens is, something goes wrong, someone does something wrong, somebody says something wrong, or somebody's trying to do something good, but they trip and they do something wrong. We just want to bring it up. We want to know about it. We want to read about it. We want to search about it. And we want to send it out. Now, how is that not like, we look at the technology today and we say, subhanAllah, technology gives us the ability to take one deed and make it a million, right? I could recite one verse of the Quran and I could record it and play it and a million people might recite it or might listen to it. Fine, I grant that. But at the same time, it also takes the ability to take one sin and make it a million also. And me as a human being, am I more likely to make mistakes or do good? I mean, doing good is tough. Making mistakes is relatively easy. In my life, I tend to make far more mistakes than I do good. And I recognize that, but I rely on the mercy of my Lord to forgive those mistakes. So I'm confident that even though I'm continuously making mistakes, because the Prophet ﷺ told us that all the children of Adam are people who make mistakes. They're all sinners. So now that characteristic of me who inherently makes mistakes but who depends on the forgiveness of their Lord is being given the tool to amplify my mistakes and spread them throughout the world. And if everybody does it, then everybody just thinks it's that much more natural to do. And don't think that any of these external parties are trying to do this for our benefit. You know, I know people like to pick on one news organization or another, so I don't want to pick any one news organization. But would you think that when news organization X sends out something or puts something on their homepage, they're really just doing it for the benefit of humanity and civilization? Okay, I grant you that a person who goes into journalism starts the path on journalism for the sake of being journalistic and bringing out the wrongs of humanity to right them. I grant that. I grant that every student starts that way. But when people get into circumstances where they're influenced by money, by dollars, by power, by prestige, by positions, they have to compete for what level they're going to be at in their organization, very quickly human beings have the possibility of being influenced by those things. Not claiming they get influenced by those things, but they certainly have the possibility to be influenced by those things. Now, what happens when news organization X, you know, recognizes that they're going to get the most clicks on something? They tend to put that on. When they know that they're going to capture the most number of people by putting on the most extreme thing, they're going to put the most extreme thing on. When they know that they can show you something that's going to anger you or irk you or create a reaction in you, they're going to be more likely to put that thing on, even though it has nothing to do with me and I have no ability to change it. I mean, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to teach me ethics? I don't need them to educate me in ethics. If the purpose of this, to show me this video, is to teach me ethics, I don't need a company that's basically doing what they do in order to earn money and looks at their ratings and worries about what the rest of the world is saying about them to teach me ethics. We don't need that. We have a system of ethics. Not that we can't learn. We can always learn. But that's not the characteristic from where we want to take our knowledge. That's not the circumstance that we want to be educated by. So when these types of things come up in front of us, look, I make a mistake and you happen to see it, what's your responsibility? Is your responsibility to take a picture and send it to the world? Or is your responsibility to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive, inshallah, if Allah forgives, if I hide my brother's sin, Allah will hide mine on the day of judgment. When we discover the mistakes of others, whether that be the mistakes of the people in our family, the mistakes of the people in our community, the mistakes of the people in the ummah, we're not there to publicize them. We're there to take advantage of them. And how do we take advantage of them? By recognizing that if I hide the mistake of my brother or sister today, then Allah will use that as an excuse to hide my mistake on the day of judgment. And I have more mistakes than anybody else on this planet. That's the attitude of the believer. Not to spread as much filth as possible, to spread as much suspicion as possible, to spread as many rumors as possible. We never even know what the truth is, to be honest with you. We never know the whole story. Even when something seems so dead obvious, there's always another side to the coin. We don't want to see that anymore because we live in a very reactionary environment where no one can even look at the other side. Everyone can just make a judgment on a two-minute video, or forget about 2 minutes. Nobody wants to watch 2 minutes anymore. 30-second video, you know, 160-character tweet, and we want to judge right away and make a complete decision based on that one interaction. Life is not that simple. There's nuances. There's reasons why people do things. There's circumstances. There's intention. There's always another side to the coin. We have a responsibility as Muslims to appreciate the whole picture. And even if the person was absolutely wrong, to still speak with softness and love and approach them in a way that allows us to be able to take advantage of the mercy of our Lord. I mean, look, the quintessential example, right, which we all can agree upon, which all of humanity for that essence can agree upon, is Fir'aun. But still, despite Fir'aun, despite the fact that he was committing genocide, open genocide, and despite the fact that he was calling himself Lord, he was calling himself, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord Most High, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still told Musa alayhi salam, go and speak to him softly. Give him a chance. Go and speak to him softly. Fine, he didn't accept the message. And yes, he couldn't be, you know, reverted from his evil. And so he faced the consequences, but he was still given that chance. He was still given that opportunity. And he was still told to go and be spoken with softly. Now, what happens? Somebody does something, or some extreme circumstance occurs, and the world just blasts it out, and it becomes an entertainment for everyone to see. An entertainment for everyone to see. And who's running the whole show? These companies that are basically just interested, the whole purpose of what they're doing is basically to just make money off of us and use us as the pawns in a game of entertainment that allows them to be able to make money off advertisers. They're not interested in you. They're not interested in me. They're not interested in the benefit of what's going to allow us to become the best person we can be. They're interested in selling us dish soap and laundry detergent and toothpaste. That's all they care about. Again, I know they'll sit down and tell you we're elevating humanity, we're doing this, we're doing that. Fine, that may be their intention. But in the end, it's driven by money. Do it for free. Why don't you do it for free? Ask them why they don't do it for free. Which prophet asked their people for money? The prophets never took anything from the people. They gave that message for free. You want to be a prophet? You want to run the world and guide the world to some goodness like a prophet? You want to act like a prophet? Do it for free. Make it completely non-for-profit. When are they going to do that? No, they're amassing billions of dollars at our expense. At the expense, unfortunately, I wish it was at the expense of our dunya. I wish it was at the expense of our dunya because it wouldn't matter. But it's not at the expense of our dunya. It's at the expense of our akhirah. Now where are we left? We're left lost in the dunya and we're left lost in the akhirah as well. We should be very particular to recognize what we allow into our minds, what we allow into our hearts, what we allow into our ears. And then on top of that, what we allow to spread from beyond us. Any rumor, suspicion, garbage, filth should die at the foot of the Muslim. It should know. Those algorithms should know, actually. Those algorithms should be able to identify, this person never sends anything. Don't waste time sending it to him or her. We should be very, very particular. I mean, I know it's like a game. It's become like a big game that everybody can just press any button and laugh and joke and send this video and this text and that text and this image and that image. We're not thinking. We're not seeing the reality of the consequences of our deeds. We should open our eyes and understand what is the depth of what's occurring. Now, does that mean that, you know, we can't stand up against injustice? We can certainly stand up against injustice. In fact, we have a responsibility to stand up against injustice. We have a responsibility to identify those things that are wrong in a society and be the first to stand up. But nothing changes by sending a bunch of garbage all over the place. I mean, that's not the way the world works. You wanna change the world? You gotta go out there. You gotta make sacrifices. You have to stand before people and talk and engage them and be an example and be a model. It never comes from pressing a button. It comes from hard work, blood, sweat, tears. Those are the people who change humanity. Not just because I could send a bunch of things off to the world. It doesn't have anything. It's a writing on water. It's writing on water. You write something today, tomorrow the next person writes something. Look at all the history of all these things that have happened. You know, yes, I'm not saying there aren't positive things. Again, I don't want to paint this so one-sided. There may be some positive things that have occurred historically, but I'm just saying that that's not the way that human beings change. All of the great individuals who have changed humanity across time, you know, they were there on the streets, in the alleys, walking with the people, sacrificing, struggling, spending their time, money, energy, effort, everything for their cause. That's what allows them to be able to uplift humanity. Not like sitting behind a screen and you know sending this to that person, and like we're just caught up in a tsunami of just filth, garbage, suspicion, anger, hatred, violence. That's not how the world changes. That's not the prophetic example. So anyway, I mean, I went off on so many different tangents. My simple point here today is that, you know, the Muslim never cooperates in that which is evil or hatred or anger or suspicion or spreading doubt or spreading fitna. This is not what the Muslim does. The deen is so particular. I mean, the deen doesn't even allow us, when we know somebody actually did something wrong. First of all, the deen makes it impossible to prove it. You want to prove zina? It's so impossible to prove it. So that's problem number one. And then issue number two, even if we were able to prove something, let's say I was able to convince myself that I was sure, then the deen still blocks me and says, cover the sin of the one who is sincere, who makes a mistake, who is human, who's human. Again, I'm not talking about criminals. There's criminals out there, that's a different story. Somebody's, you know, cheating the world, you have to expose them in order to save the world from their crime, that's a different story. I'm just talking about this common humanity that we exist in. You know, we're all just common human beings. Now, you know, it's like every single thing is like an entertainment. Every video, every image, every text, you know, people will say something and you just take their words and just send it to the world, and it's so out of context that even the person did not intend that, what they said. But they have no chance to defend themselves because the whole world is just looking for the next thing to, you know, again, the algorithms are searching for the next thing to show us that will keep our eyeballs for, you know, 5 extra seconds. So we have a very simple, beautiful premise in our deen. Number one, it's very hard to prove someone's mistakes. Number two, even if you prove their mistakes, you're still required to make an excuse. Number three, after we make an excuse, we're required to cover it. For example, I see somebody in the street with a can of beer in their hand. Then, first of all, I have to tap myself on the head. No, I didn't see that. There's something wrong with my own eyes. I don't know what that person was holding, and I'm not even sure who that person was. But even if I was so sure, then I don't know what's in that can. I have no idea what's in that can. Maybe it was just an empty can that they picked up off the street and were just reading. They happened to be reading while I drive by, and they were going to throw it in the garbage. That's the excuse I have to make. And even if I was 1,000% certain, even if I was 1,000%, which is very difficult, because remember, when you're 1,000% certain, what you're really saying is that I can bet my akhirah on this. That's really what's being said. I'm willing to bet my akhirah on this statement that I'm going to make. You know how many times I thought I was sure about something, but then I find out later, actually, I was wrong? You know how many times, professionally, socially, communally, individually, how many times have we been certain about something, only a little later to recognize, no, that was wrong. I just misunderstood. I can't believe it. I can't believe the coincidence, but I misunderstood. And even if I was 1,000% certain, and I was willing to bet my akhirah, then my next responsibility is to make an excuse. It's to cover it. Because only if I cover it, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover my own sins on the day of judgment. Now, when you lay all of that criteria, it means that every single rumor is going to die at my feet because I'm already vaccinated. Every single suspicion is going to die at my feet. It's not going to go further than me. First of all, it's going to be lucky to even get inside of me. And second of all, if it gets inside of me, it's not going to go beyond me. Every single doubt, negativity, suspicion is all going to die at my feet. We should be very, very particular about what we hear and what we say, what we type, you know, what we type, what we spread. Again, we don't want to answer for all this on the day of judgment. You know, if living 500 years ago was difficult, living today is even worse because everything gets amplified. Listen very simply, let me just summarize this whole thing. Our pious predecessors, they used to cry and make dua that they not see this time that we live in. And we are laughing in this time, thinking that we should pat ourselves on the back. That's the danger. That's actually the biggest danger. It would be okay if we were all scared to death and we all said, subhanAllah, this is a difficult time. Let me be that much more vigilant about my circumstance. But instead, it's a difficult time. We don't even see that there's sharks in the water. And instead of swimming away from the sharks, we're playing with them. So now what's going to be the circumstance? Of course we're going to be the losers in the end. We should be very, very particular. And again, the summary for today is just this beautiful statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe one summary, if I had to summarize one phrase from the Quran and this statement from the Prophet ﷺ. From the Quran, burn this in our brains. وَلَا تَدَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَلَا تَدَاوَنُوا. And don't cooperate. Don't join for the Muslims should not join their forces together to do sin and transgression. And the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that it suffices a person to be called false, and يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ, that they speak everything that they hear. That they speak everything that they hear, meaning that they tweet everything that they receive, that they send out everything that they get. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the difficulty of our time, and may He make us amongst those who are able to protect ourselves from the doubt and the suspicion and the hatred and the vitriol that's present in our day and age. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.